is the duty of leaders to lead, of the creative to create, of the daring to do. The free world expects leadership of us. Its fate and our fate depends upon our leadership. We are industrious, inventive, restless, with the fires that burn within us. But I say that nothing is easy, and the best things are the hardest. And all our troubles, all our immense difficulties, now and in the future, can I say, be solved if we have the will, the courage. The future is to those who take it.
The two folks that are going to be the bookend on this afternoon are really interesting figures in the transformation of healthcare because they come at this from a very different angle, which is thinking about the importance of large organizations working with small startups. And Matthew McCaskin from Evercore is someone who's one of the best deal makers I've ever met and I've ever seen, and one who is so entrepreneurially minded about what's needed to magically bring together these large organizations, whether it's Aurora Healthcare and Startup Health, whether it's Cardinal Health, and what you'll see is going to be a number of very exciting announcements, one of which was made just a week ago when they made their announcement about the participation in an investment in Aver, which is a Startup Health company. So Meg Fitzgerald, who runs corporate strategy at Cardinal Health, Matthew McCaskin from Evercore, please come up to the stage and give us our fireside chat of the Startup Health Festival's first day.
I think strategically, I've always been the one that's been placed between the last meeting of the day and cocktails, and I'm not quite sure what that's meant to signify. Either we're extremely quick or extremely efficient, or we want to make people move very quickly after our fireside to go to get something to drink. So, nice to see everyone here today. And again, Steve and Unity, thank you. Thank you for having us. And again, I think for those of us that have seen some of your showcases over the last couple of years, I have to say congratulations on what's already been a pretty remarkable day. So congratulations to you guys. I guess I have to start off with just the landscape. I mean, this has been one of the most transformative times we've seen in healthcare over the last couple of years. And as you look at where you are today, where Cardinal is, how are you guys viewing just the next year or two or the next 3 to 5 years as you think about the changing landscape?
I know. You're starting to manage the healthcare landscape quarter to quarter, right? $600 billion of value changed hands last year. Every quarter beat the last quarter. So it was an epic year for deal making. So we look at things through, you know, we try and be pretty agile with our strategic intents. We obviously stick to five, you know, core areas, which we'll get into. But from a trend perspective, it's usually inescapable demographics, which I think everyone knows. In fact, you know, the baby boomers turned 70 this year, so happy birthday to them. So the trends are inescapable, and then I think you start to look at changes in the payment model. That's probably the most, you know, looming trend in terms of how fast that's going to move. Partnerships. You know, I know not always that's what you want to tell a healthcare banker, but I think partnerships are probably the new M&A. It's certainly a way to extract value. You don't necessarily have to buy your way to value. You can do partnerships. Mm-hmm. And for us, you know, looking at the landscape of pharmaceutical care, and it's really, you know, a tale of two markets. You have innovative products, which represent 30% of the value. We're now getting to levels of cure in some cancers, which is great. And then on the other end, you have generics, 88% or higher of the volume in the U.S., and we've spent a lot of time thinking about that through our partnership with CVS. So I think looking at all the trends quarter by quarter, but having some sense of where, you know, the world is going through the lens of an aging patient, which is probably a person living at home alone, is usually a good place to start with the trends.
And if you think about just even Cardinal as an organization, you've been there about 5 years. I mean, things have changed pretty tremendously. I think for some of us that have been doing this conference for a long time, the world used to be in silos, and we used to think about you're either in this bucket or this bucket, but the blurring lines of healthcare have changed so much over the last couple of years, so that as you think about where Cardinal might be heading, as you think about whether it's in the specialty space, the post-acute space, beyond traditional pharma and kind of medical side of things, where else do you see your organization changing, given how rapidly the world is evolving around us?
It's fascinating because I joined Cardinal 5 years ago, and I remember interviewing with the leadership team saying, you know, so how should I think about distribution? And I remember George Barrett said, you know, we're more than that. We do healthcare services. And in the last, you know, 5 years that I've been there, we've expanded to China. We made an acquisition with, you know, Cordis to get into preferred products. We're now in 70 countries as a result of Cordis. We've done a ton of work in China. We're top 10 distributor in China. And then we built our specialty division, you know, from the ground up. So to kind of be there during this wave of both organic and inorganic innovation has been pretty incredible.
And I would also say the diversity of what you guys have done. I think for some people that think about large companies, they think they might be in a specific mindset of a deal that has to fit your box. And if you take a look at what Steve mentioned about, you know, a relatively small investment in an AVROINFORMATICS versus doing a Cordis transaction or a NaviHealth, you've really run the gamut in terms of where you're allocating capital and trying to plant seeds. So how do you, as a large organization, divide your guys' time and stay on point for that? Because that's got to be a challenge with the diversity of places you could put dollars.
Yeah. You know, the first thing we look at is, does it map to our strategies, which are usually anchored in the trends we mentioned before? The second thing is the people, which you guys would know really well, everyone in the audience. The people matter. A person can take a bad strategy and turn it into a great company, and we've seen that over and over. So usually we look at the person. We always want to make sure whatever business we're in is in the upper right-hand quadrant of anyone's chart, that it's a large, growing market. And then at the end of the day, we always ask, is Cardinal a good owner? Is Cardinal a good partner? You know, there's lots of things that a lot of my team is here today. Like, we love Uber. We might not necessarily be the best owner of Uber, right? So we're constantly asking, what does Cardinal bring to the table? Why would you as an entrepreneur be a good fit for Cardinal? So you mentioned Aver. One of our leaders at Cardinal now is the CEO of Aver. We made an acquisition with Cordis. That management team is with us. We acquired AsuraMed. Michael Petris is now one of our, you know, operating committee members. And then recently we took a majority interest in NaviHealth, and now we have Clay Richards. So I think, you know, we've made a real point to look at the people and make sure that we're a good fit and it's on trend. And as a result, it winds up being, you know, a good fit and on trend for the entrepreneur and their company and their team, which has been nice.
So do you think, with a lot of entrepreneurs in the room, if they're trying to navigate a way to work with Cardinal, you know, we've just touched on partnerships, joint ventures, strategic relationships. There's a myriad of different things they could do to work with you as an organization. Is there a best fit or a best direction, or does it depend? And that could be both geographically or product-oriented. How do people try to navigate when they sometimes often see a, you know, extremely large organization, kind of how to get in the door and how to work with you guys?
Yeah, for being, you know, a Fortune 25 or, I don't know, the market today, what are we? But it was a tough day.
It was Fortune 25, now it's Fortune 30, unfortunately, given the distribution sector today.
Watch it, McCaskin. We all subscribe that healthcare is about content and connection. So most of the Cardinal team, if you want to raise your hand, if you're with Cardinal Health. So if you want to see these people, that's what I believe. I believe you find the people that are in a company, know their strategy, and find a way to get to them, you know, and we do listen. There's nothing worse than waking up in the morning and finding out that you missed out on a great opportunity. So I think the entire team at Cardinal prides ourselves on trying to make sure we know you. So the second you guys gave me a call to come here today, I think the entire team, we RSVP'd and they all wanted to come here. It's turns out to be the coolest place to be right now in San Francisco, so we got lucky. But the team said, you know, we really have to be there. We really want to hear the stories and see what people are doing. And most of the innovation in healthcare is happening, you know, within this room and within the other 5 rooms that are here today. Those closest to the customer, those with an idea, are being incredibly disruptive and coming up with new business models. So we'd be crazy not to survey them.
Do you think there's a lot of organizations beyond entrepreneurs? I see some folks in the room that are larger organizations that are really trying to find a way to work well with entrepreneurs and folks at the very early stages of innovation. Maybe talk a few minutes about what you're doing with Fuse and doing some things internally, which is attacking it from multiple different directions.
Yeah, so we set up a venture within Cardinal called Fuse. It's our innovation lab. It's we nominated a CTO, which for us was a big deal that we weren't just going to have a CIO, but we were going to have a CTO, and we were going to think about digital, and we were going to innovate with our customers at Fuse. So we often bring a lot of our, you know, hospital customers, oncologists. It could be a clinician. It could be somebody that's in discharge planning that wants to find a better way to do that. And what we've tried to do is say that innovation doesn't necessarily have to be a new product or the next great thing, that innovation could happen, you know, in the mundane and in the boring. You're making something better, you're making something more efficient. How we pay for healthcare, how somebody's discharged, where they go, is all innovation. And we subscribe to business innovation. So setting up Fuse to not only invent new ways to work, but also to make things better with our customers has been pretty exciting for us. I think the size of our company, it's probably, someone told me, it's the most frequented place at Cardinal for someone to want to visit. Nobody, you know, no longer wants to come visit us at the headquarters. They all want to go to Fuse to see what it's about.
Isn't that because they have the best coffee?
That's true, yeah. Actually. That is
just
true.
Just like here with
And scooters and stuff like that, or it's more fun. But, you know, that I think for us that was a bit of a leap, but it's, you know, now part of our DNA, and it's, you know, it's a way of life for us.
So as you at Cardinal think about the changing, back to the changing landscape, but you think about the disruptive technologies, these alternative care models, a lot of where the world is going, again, is to new areas of care, such as value-based care, and areas that aren't really defined today. As we try to navigate where the government might be thinking about payment models, where payers may be changing their mindset about how they pay for services, that's changing pretty rapidly. How do you navigate a value-based care environment where coordinating, you know, facilities, physicians, multiple constituents is still so undefined today as you're trying to bet on the future?
Yeah, it's difficult. So we've made a few bets in this place. First of all, we studied the market for the better part of 3 years. We anticipated that value-based care in some way, shape, or form would be here. And it's really, you know, whatever the name of the month is, whether it's, you know, an ACO or value-based care, pay-for-performance, that there was going to be a focus on cost, efficiency, and quality, that was going to be the new way to do healthcare. And so value-based care and a lot of the work coming out of CMMI kind of, you know, subscribes to those principles. And so when we think about it from a Cardinal perspective, we cover 75% of all the IDNs in the United States. We have lots of touch points, I think 25,000 pharmacies. So as we think about value-based care and following the patient, we have an ability to go from the hospital to the home and back and kind of follow the patient on this journey. So for us, it was a natural place to start to think, how can we help work in the OR to discharge management to chronic patients in their home, where many of them either start in their home or they wind up there, and oftentimes you want them to be in their home if it's an appropriate setting. So for us, as we think about it, it really started with the patient and listening to our customers and the IDNs to figure out what the need was. And value-based care is quite elusive. If you don't have the data and you can't follow the patient, taking risks can be pretty daunting, especially financial risk.
And as you think a little bit about, I'll hit on for a second, globalization of healthcare. I think sometimes here we have very U.S.-centric ideas about the way the system should work, but I think that we're all continuing to learn that there's great models of care globally that are out there. And as you as an organization have moved into different areas, you mentioned China, obviously your presence in Europe is growing, Canada, other areas. Are you seeing things in those models that you can almost translate back to the States? Or how much of, as you guys have expanded globally, have you relearned ways to think about healthcare?
That's such a good question. So I spent time 10 years ago in Europe, and I'm amazed at how much, you know, I saw in Germany is now revealing itself here in the United States, especially with, you know, regard to their version of value-based care and taking care of an entire population and thinking about taking care of patients in the home. So I actually think it works both ways. Everyone is grappling with chronic disease. It doesn't matter where you live. When you're 70 years old, you're most likely going to have 3 to 5 chronic conditions. So it doesn't escape anybody. So how you prepare for that and the strategies that you unveil work in almost every market. There just might be considerations for how you get paid, but it's pretty amazing that my European friends say, well, welcome to our world. You're finally seeing what it's like to manage care here. And I think there's some truth to that.
a few things as we think about the next couple minutes here. There, one of the things that Meg and I discussed was and I've heard about this. I haven't quite seen it before, but Cardinal is very known for playing word association games. And I think at both the Investor Day as well as other thing else, it seems to be quite a hot topic. So what I thought I would do is take a bit of a direction here and do some word associations. So we'll start.
That's my game.
That's your game? Okay.
Yeah, well, that's like usually like, so if you're going to do that to me, I would get the audience help and possibly do that to you.
We'll see. Once again, I said we're the last people between here and these people having a drink, so we'll see what that means.
Okay, let's see what you got.
Let's see. We'll start off with partnerships.
The new M&A.
That scares me. Okay. Value-based.
No, you'd be part of it. Like
value-based care.
Paperless.
Cordis.
Transformational.
Baby boomers.
I just said it was their birthday, so chronic disease. No. My mom's watching skinny jeans.
Yeah. Baby boomers. Let's try that again.
Is that worse? I heard baby someone boomers. Say ew.
Okay. CVS Health.
No smoking.
Union Square this week.
Surge pricing. No, seriously, right? How many people pay $30 for coffee and then $50 for the seat and then get in the Uber for $58?
And for those of you that know me in the audience who know that I'm from the great state of Michigan, my last word association word is Jim Harbaugh.
Bad khakis.
Or just khakis.
Khakis. Okay, so I feel like a few need to come your way for that.
Absolutely. I'm ready.
Tomorrow night's drawing.
Red 19.
GOP candidate.
Make America great. But Steve, Unity, again, thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for doing this today.
Congratulations.